Well, this morning we're going to not pick up on the subject we have been on, and we'll do that next week, but we want to look at some things, especially for us. We're dealing with the resurrection of Christ. The Lord has been spoke to me this week, and I've been looking at some things in Scripture. It's one of the things He reminded me of something I was taught many years ago. It goes back a long way, many decades ago, listening to Kenneth Hagin's teaching and looking at the Word. One of the things that we do is, I found out, I was looking this week, you know, it's like in the bulletin and that stuff, I'll put different, pictures on the front there. It's one of the things that's looking concerning. I went over and looking at pictures of Easter, and it's Resurrection Sunday, and I'm just totally amazed. There's more emphasis on the cross in picture than there is on resurrection. I mean, and we need to understand this, and one of the things that we want to look at is this fact. Kenneth Hagin made this statement when I was a young Christian, and as I went along, I really started to understand it. He said, most of Christianity is a death religion. It amplifies death. It doesn't amplify life. It amplifies death. It puts more, you know, we still have, you know, the images, and, you know, the cross has become the symbol of the church. And Kenneth Hagin says, has said this, and I thought about it a long time. He said, the cross should have never been the symbol of the church. You know, you need to understand, when you get born again, the church, the symbol of the church should be the throne.
Amen.
Not the tomb. The church has hung around death. And so we preach death to people instead of life. Now, understand, we preach the cross to the sinner. See, we came by the cross. You know, we came by the cross, and we preach it. Hey, we don't want to admit it. That cross, number one, that's the place where my penalty was taken care of.
Amen.
At that cross.
Thank you.
Jesus took the entire curse of the law on Himself of what sin had done for all of us. Thank God He did that. We're not minimizing that. But the success of Christianity is the throne, not the cross.
Amen.
See, I grew up in a church, and they were religious, and they taught, you know, they used to sing songs, you know, we cling to the cross and stay near the cross. And you know what? They didn't go nowhere. They stayed in saying, you know, we're just down here trying to get by, and we're just... And really, the Bible doesn't teach anywhere stay near the cross. Does not teach anything about that. And that's why Kenneth Hagin made much, and he said, this is why, he said, my ministry, he said, I've never used the cross as a symbol. He said, you'll never see the cross on my sin, because that's not the symbol. He said, we use the shield of faith. He said, that's where we live and walk in. And it's number one, if you don't have victory, you don't have a shield of faith.
Amen.
You have the shield of faith because of the victory you have. Faith is based upon the victory that is given. If there's no victory given and all you got's crossed, you don't have any place to stand. You don't have any place. It's the victory you want. Jesus took the punishment so you and I could have the victory. Now, we need to understand this. You know, Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians, I'll just read this to you, 1 Corinthians 1 and 17 and 18. He said, for Christ did not send me, he said, to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of no effect. He said, for the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. Now, we need to understand this. So, in other words, he's talking about the preaching of the gospel. We need to understand the difference between the preaching and teaching. You know, you people, if you notice, I don't do much preaching to you guys. Why? Because the preaching is basically for the sinner. You know, if you'll find this, a really good evangelist is a good preacher. He goes out and he preaches, and that anointing, that preaching, he takes the cross. He talks to the cross, that takes the cross to the world. He preaches to the world about the cross. He preaches with the direction, the purpose of the cross and things. He preaches that. You're saved. If you don't get it now, you're in pretty bad shape. You know. But what we want to do is, and what we're doing today is, the Lord wants me to emphasize, we talk about resurrection, and I want you to get this going in. We talk about the things of resurrection. We need to understand this. We're not talking about raised from the dead, just a person died and was raised from the dead. Jesus Christ's body came alive because of what happened to him. His body didn't come alive like it was before. In fact, if you would go to, we're going to be going to Colossians then, but in Colossians, in the first chapter, In verse 18, it says this, and it says, "And he is the head of the body," which is speaking of Christ. He's the head of the body, the church. So the body he's talking about is the church here. That's you and I. That's us saved folks. He's writing to Christians. This is not written to the world. This is written to the church. The world cannot experience. They have to come to Christ to come to this. Now listen to what he says. "Who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead." If he was not, his body became resurrected because he was first born from the dead. Just like when you were born into the earth, you came into the earth, you were a new spirit being that came into this earth. See, the church amplifies the body. See, we had people raised from the dead in the Old Testament. We had people raised from the dead. When we're talking about raised from the dead, we're not talking about the same thing when we talk about Christ. His resurrection was something supernatural that never took place. You need to understand this. The Jesus that died on the cross is not the Jesus that came out the tomb. People think it's the same one. And the church lives and follows after Jesus who lived before. See, he lived as a man under the old covenant. Most Christians only know Jesus as the man in the old covenant. They turn around. We have really the historical references of him in the earth and what he did. But see, the church is supposed to live after the Jesus that came out of the tomb. He was a new being. He wasn't the same one that died. He died as a man who had taken on the sin of the world. He didn't sin himself, but our sin was laid on. He died as a sinner and went to hell with our sin. Number one, see, you were judged by God. If you read the New Testament, read the Gospel of John concerning sin. You and I, from a sin standpoint, we were already judged to eternity separated from God. You were already judged that. You don't find out like people, you die, then you find out what your judgment is. I'm sorry, that's already set. That was set. When you came into this earth, your destiny was really sort of set. You get sin, man in sin is in a bad situation. In other words, there's a judgment set. And this is one thing as we'll do next week. We'll talk about the things of judgment. Judgments get set and that judgment has to be carried out. God could not forgive man's sin just because he was going to be a nice guy. This is the great falseness of the church. They teach because God loves you, he forgave your sin. No, he didn't. He forgave your sin because the punishment of your sin was carried out. He couldn't just forgive you. See, we do that today, and this is why sinners just go back and keep committing terrible crimes and stuff and things they keep doing stuff. I don't know, there's judgment set, and that judgment on us had to be carried out. Jesus took the sin of the world, and that judgment was carried out on Jesus Christ. This is why you should be so appreciative of him, as he paid the punishment for my sin. It wasn't just God forgave Ed. God forgave Ed because the punishment, my punishment, was already judged. He couldn't forgive it any other way. See, we don't know much about the church. Lives in a fantasy world of a make-believe Christianity made up for America. Our salvation is so spectacular and so incredible, and we live down here on this level on it and think we got somewhere. I'm going to tell you, it's full of glory. And God wants you to rise up to the glory. He wants you to come up to realize your judgment was carried out. It had to be. This wonderful master we have took upon himself the punishment we were supposed to have that was for us. Hey, God is righteous and just. He cannot overlook sin. He can't let it go. We have this false love God. I don't even know who they're talking about. His love is greater than any person has ever thought about. He abolished my sin, put it away so it's never remembered anymore. Now see, in this earth, even if they forgive you, you still go down the courthouse and they still have record of your ugly. Don't they? Amen. That's right. Heaven has no record of my past ugly. No record. They have no record. See, that's the love of God. He didn't just remove my sin, pay the punishment, put it on Jesus. He has laid it as if Jesus committed the crime and not me. Wow. Jesus felt guilty. See, this is why. See, I owe a debt to God. I can't pay it, and I'm not going to try. But I'm going to tell you, I'm so glad Jesus is Lord.
Amen.
I'm not. There's no other religion has anything like this.
Amen.
No other religion has nothing. I mean, if all you got is a bunch of virgins when you die, so I feel sorry for you. If that's all you got, I'm going to tell you, what a sorry bunch. That's what you get? Dear Lord. Hallelujah. I have more glory than that in this life. That's real. I'm telling you. I got more glory than that in this life.
Amen. Praise God.
If that's all you get is some sex, dear God, you'll get sick of that after a while. Because once you had sex with them, they ain't virgins no more. And then you died. Well, isn't that true? I mean, it's like, yeah, well, that was done. Wasn't that fun for the rest of eternity? Now, what do I do? But I'm not just knocking them. Christianity is full of nuttiness, too. And they think it's very spiritual and follow after it. And they don't realize the glory that they have. The glory that was given to us in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. This one that was born from the dead. The Jesus that I know. The Jesus, and really, Peter, on it. How does God get dead and become a new being? How does that happen? I ain't got a clue. God never told me to figure it out. He only told me to believe it. There's number one, no. What God did so changed my life when I believed it.
Amen.
It's just like I talked about Charles Colson. It so changed his life when he got born again, what he was and what it turned him into. See, and that's what I mean. What it turned me into. I became one of, I don't question it because number one, the experience I have had with Jesus Christ.
Amen.
What he's done. Now we're going to look at over in Colossians again because we want to look today. In Colossians, we're in the second chapter. We want to read some things here because God wants to have some things emphasized. We're taking communion today and things. We're on this thing of life, and we need to get a hold of this and to be able to live this changed life of what we really are. You're a child of God. You're a saint of God. You are separated. You're completely different than everybody else and everything else. Don't identify you as yourself as everybody else in this world. You are not. You need to see yourself that you're an extraordinary being. The Bible says you're not of this world. It's not some nice statement. You are not. You're of the kingdom of God. When you got born again, this thing is real and true. The earth is not my home. It's not my place. I just happen to live here because I'm still in this suit, this earth suit,
amen,
that I'm in this body. But you know what? One day, if Jesus doesn't return, this body's going to be stuck in the ground. And Ed won't be crying. Maybe somebody will cry over it, but I'll tell you, wasting your time. Ed's in heaven having a great time.
Amen.
The real me will be in heaven having a great time. It ain't here.
Amen.
You know, so don't be upset if I go. If you do, I'll be laughing at you in heaven. So the only reason you're sorrow, it's about you. It ain't about me. I'm having a great time.
Amen.
Hallelujah. That's what that's going to be. Hallelujah. I'll get to go and be with Jesus. As I've grown in the Lord, I really realize what Paul said. He said, to depart and be with Christ is far better. But for you people, I'll stay. That's the way it was. See, we emphasize it different, but it ain't true. He wanted to go.
Amen.
Well, look at it. Yeah, this is real. Down here, praise God, we're looking for a wonderful eternity. And I found this, as I get older, I'm looking more and more for that wonderful eternity. Hallelujah. The more I know him, the more I want to get near him. I don't want to know him at a distance. Sure, he lives in me, but I want face to face.
Amen.
You come to the place, man, I got to look on this one that did this for me.
Amen.
I got to look on him. I like reading about him. I like experiencing his power in my life, but I want to meet him.
Amen.
Woo!
Amen.
Now the church, they're still hanging out the cross. They're still crawling around the tomb. They're just, you know, come on, folks.
Amen.
Hallelujah. There's a glory for us. Now, in verse 6 of the Colossians 2nd chapter, it says, as you have therefore received Jesus Christ the Lord, so walk in him. See, there's a life lived. When we're talking about a walk, there's a life. The walk means the life. Live the life that's in Christ Jesus. See, you can live another life. Amen. You can live a religious life.
Preach.
That is on religion, all things that are nice and things that are good. God wants you to experience, to walk in Christ. I'm going to tell you, you're going to experience the life of God. The life of God is not for on the pages of wonderful things in the book. It's an experience.
Amen.
I have an experienced life. I have experienced Jesus Christ. I didn't do it one time when I got saved. I have experienced Him. It is experience is a full walk. It's a walk. It's every day experiencing God.
Amen.
Do you know, we take for granted. You know, the only reason I try to even live decent is because of Him.
Amen.
I never had to want to live good till I ran into Jesus.
Amen.
I didn't have that. Now, I wake up in the morning and I think about Jesus. You know what I did before you woke up and you thought, oh, I got to go through this day, this is going to happen, that's going to happen. It's all about Him. I didn't think about Jesus. Hallelujah. And I don't think about Him. Why? His goodness. I know I get up in the morning, no matter if this day is coming. Hallelujah. I know what I can walk in and where I can live.
Amen. Thank
Hallelujah. No matter what comes along the way, man, I got the best help. He loved me so much, God the Holy Spirit moved in. Hallelujah. Praise God. I'm a Holy Ghost motel.
Amen.
I don't charge Him rent. Hallelujah. He can live free all He wants. Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen.
You want Him living in. This is what we got. See, you didn't gain a conscience. You need to think like this. You need to become.
Amen.
See, most people think Christianity is trying to do something I'm trying to do. Man, I ain't trying to do this thing. Hallelujah. God did it. I believe it's true.
Amen.
God's in me. God's in you. See, well, I don't feel nothing. That's the whole point of faith.
Amen.
I'm living like something I can't see nor feel. The Bible said is true. And when I think about it, it makes me so happy.
Amen.
So you want to get depressed? Just keep thinking about your feelings. Just keep thinking about all that. You'll be depressed. Don't worry.
Amen.
You'll get. But I just think about it. Look what's in me. Say, do you feel it in you? Nah. Hallelujah. But you know what? Just when I meditate on it, think about it, it just brings joy to me.
Amen.
It brings pleasure to me.
Amen.
Hallelujah. God is with me. God all the time. Hallelujah. Glory to God. In this wonderful walk, He goes on, He says, rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. So you're supposed to be rooted and built up in Him, established what? In the faith. As you have been taught. In the faith. Faith comes by hearing the Word of God. Taught in the Word. Not taught by religious ideas or religious principles. Hallelujah. I grew up in that. You know, some of that stuff's hard to get rid of. You know, you have been so indoctrinated in religion that after a while, when I came to Christ, I had certain beliefs. Till I had to go find out in the Word that they weren't right. There's people who live it out. When they get to heaven, they're going to find out they were in another religion. They got born again. They'll get to heaven, but they really followed religious beliefs, the ideas of men and what men have said. They sit and listen. They don't look up for themselves. They don't study that. They just wait for somebody else to tell them. Well, there's one thing as I learned over time. You know, people, even at their best, we're all fallible, aren't we?
Amen.
Glory to God. See, I like this God in me because He's not. And I need somebody who's not fallible. I don't know about you. I definitely need someone who is not fallible. Glory to God. And our teacher isn't the Holy Spirit. Now he goes on to say this. Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy, empty deceit, according to the traditions of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. You need to be careful. There's deception. You know, there's people who you can get deceived, listen to, and they didn't try to be bad. They're just preaching wrong stuff.
Amen.
But you know what? You're responsible for it.
Mm-hmm.
You are.
Amen.
You ain't going to get to heaven and say, well, they told me this. And they say, well, did you look? No. No, I'm an American. I'm waiting for everybody to take care of me. Everybody else. You know, preacher, you do the study and you figure it all out while I go do something else, you know. But see, God became real into me because I went after God.
Amen.
If you seek, you find. You knock, it's open to you.
Amen.
If you ain't seeking, you won't find.
Amen.
If you're not knocking. You know, that word seek means to look for something as if it's lost. Do you go to the Bible like you think it's something's lost? No. Most people say, well, I do a Bible reading every day. Yeah, because you mostly do what you do because you think you found. Not because something's lost. Treasures. You know, do you realize how many people out here in the world, how many people going around looking for treasures of things and digging and going places where, you know, lost treasures. People. I mean, you go out here, millions of people invest in companies that go out and like in the ocean and trying to find ships that were sunk with had gold and stuff in them. And people invest millions and millions of dollars to go look for gold and silver in this world. I mean, you think about what you do for money. Don't you get up? Are you faithful to go to the work and all that kind of stuff? Well, how are you faithful about God and the Word? No, the dollars do mean a lot more. I know people never miss a day of work and don't mind missing church.
Preach.
They don't mind. Why? I can tell you this. M-O-N-E-Y. It's Money Mouse. He's got one big one. They talk about Mickey, popular. Now, he ain't near as popular as M-O-N-E-Y. He ain't even close. Hallelujah. So, but we need to hook up. In other words, there's the traditions of men. Religion gets founded tradition. You know, I was born and raised in people. They got born again. They had all kind of traditions, and we were taught traditions of all kind of things. Traditions of stuff. Now, they weren't bad people, but you know what? They didn't understand the life of God and what it was. They religiously celebrated these days and not understanding what took place in them and what God did. How sad. All that God did for them, they didn't know. They weren't bad people. My parents weren't bad people. But they followed a religious way in teaching. And so they just followed those things. They followed the tradition of men. They got deceived into things. Not because they were bad or the people were bad. But everybody just follows tradition. We love tradition. Some traditions are okay and good, but I'm going to tell you, when it comes to Christianity, you better examine what is traditional and what is truth. We need to find out. See, we have the thing. Paul makes the things about people. Paul made this statement about, you know, this is what some people are going to. He said, you know, concerning holy days, he said, some people, you know, every day is holy. Some people, they have certain holy days, and some don't consider any of them. They're all the same. And he said, you know, you choose. In other words, you figure out which one you're going to do. But see, we have this. If you join groups, they have their holy days. It's like the church. The church, basically, the average Christian never celebrates resurrection only on one day a year. I'm sorry, Jesus is alive every day.
Amen.
See, the first church, the reason they got together was on a Sunday. That was the first day of the week. That's when Jesus was raised from the dead. See, on Saturday was the Sabbath. Now, the church calls Sunday, some of them call Sunday the Sabbath. That's what I grew up. The Sunday was never the Sabbath. Never was. The Sabbath was established by God under the law. That was Saturday. On Sunday was the first day of the week. Jesus was right on the first day. They got together. The Christians got together on the first day of the week because they celebrated the resurrection together. That's what Sunday's about. You don't wait till Easter.
That's right.
The whole point of the church getting together, we're celebrating a risen God. That's what we're doing. And you know what? I know this, that generally today, the church knows nothing about that, and that's why the church isn't important to people, and that only when they want to get married, then let's have a center. They want to dedicate a baby or something, then they go through people go through these kind of things, which really are meaningless and don't mean nothing, because it's all tradition. It's all just doing stuff, but the life isn't in it. God wants you to do what brings life to you. That does something good for your life. That does wonderful things for you. That's what God wants. Just tradition. You know, there's good traditions that come along. There's good things that you can remember and do. But don't let the traditions take the place of Christ.
Amen.
This walk we have is every day.
Amen. Preach.
It's not sometime.
Preach.
It's not a once a year celebration. We got this great day today and tomorrow. We just go back and do what we always did. No, tomorrow, hallelujah, I'm going to do what I was doing before. Hallelujah. This day, well, is a celebration. You know, we're preaching to get together in this day because, you know, and I'm preaching his thing. But God wants us to go to another level. We have to reach higher. Because it says concerning, verse 9, concerning this, for in him, or this Jesus, dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Do you know Jesus Christ has a glorified human body? A glorified human body. And in his Jesus in heaven, he is a physical touchability, a physical body. Do you know there's nobody else in heaven has one? Nobody else in heaven has a physical body. If they did, then what's the resurrection of the church about? Coming back and their bodies coming out of the ground, being changed. You see, there's nobody else has one. Jesus is in the glorified. He's a picture of us. Of what we're going to be in the fullness. But I'm going to tell you can live here in some really good stuff. Hallelujah. Down here in this. This Jesus, he's the fullness of the Godhead. See, all of Jesus said this, all authority in heaven and earth has been given unto me. The church has no revelation of that, basically. God is not in charge. The Father's not in charge. He turned it over to Jesus. That's why Jesus said, if you ask the Father anything in my name, he'll do it. God doesn't do anything without the approval of faith in Christ. The church don't even know that. They're lost to that today. This Jesus that came out of the tomb, this one that walked out, is the most phenomenal thing. The head of the church has all the authority of heaven and all of the authority in the earth. And we're, the Bible calls his body. There's no limit concerning the authority we have. The limits we have is the lack of knowledge of God. That's our limit. It is not the limit. God has set no limits on the church. There is no limits. We're in the limitless one. Amen. The Holy Spirit has been given to the church and is in the church to reveal the limitless one in us so we can walk in it. That's his purpose. That's what it is. I mean, think about that. See, we ought to meditate on these things, you know. Now let's get past the cross, folks. Amen. Let's get past it. Thank God for that was done. But you know, no man's going to succeed in life if he commits a crime, they put him in jail. He gets out of jail and he has paid his penalty for what he did, and all he ever does for the rest of his life, think about what the jail. That's the church. The church is in jail and they ain't going to leave the cell for nothing. You got to drag them out of that thing. They're free, but they love the cell. You know, they love the punishment, you know. Well, I was bad and I really need punishment. Yes, I did. But the guy that needed the punishment's dead. The guy today does not need any punishment.
Amen. Praise God.
The church lives like we need beat up or something. You know, God makes me sick for a reason. No, you're already sick the way you think. Now, I'm just telling Amen. You, you're already sick the way you think. You don't know him.
Amen.
If he has to beat you up, why would he send Jesus to take all your sin and tell your punishment if he's still going to beat you up? Mm-hmm. How stupid and ridiculous. You know? Well, they get down here. I worked in a prison, see? And they let him out of jail and they'd take him out and let him go and then bring him right back in and say, now we'll lock you up again because, you know. This is the church. The church goes out and they think, well, we're going to go back and be punished again. You know? Because I might mess up. Lord, if God's going to punish you because you're going to mess up, he's just going to beat you all the time. You're not perfect. Did you ever? He didn't do what he did because he loves to punish people. He loves to take people from glory to glory.
Amen.
That's what he loves. That's what he loves. He doesn't want to punish you. Dear Lord. We need to get out of it. You know, I remember my dad living in the past. My dad, I remember talking to him because he wasn't taught this. But my dad, just like I was an alcoholic, my dad was an alcoholic. And my dad, you know, he lived a really rough life and that stuff before he got saved. And but he said this. He talked about, he was, in later years, he was going through some things with health-wise, and then I talked to him, and he said, well, you know, he said, I've really abused my body and that stuff. In other words, this is happening because I really abused my body. And I said, Dad, those were days you abused your body. I said, you abused your body as a sinner. And I said, And I spoke to him. So I said, God expects you to pay it up with the punishment of what you did back there under sin. Is that what you believe? Well, I could see a light came on in him because he had never, that light never come on. I talked to him about it. I said, your past is still holding on to you. See, how many of your past? I mean, how many things that even you've done as a Christian you repented of, but you're still living in the past of that? I found this out. It is most people struggle with forgiveness from God. They never forgive themselves.
That's right.
Amen.
They never forget. And so they live and struggle with the past. You know, I've messed up at times, but I got to throw it on the bus. You know, I confess my sin. He's faithful and just to forgive me and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Now my job is this, lay that down.
Amen.
And pick the glory up.
Amen. Amen. That's right.
Everybody's waiting to feel better. May never happen. My feelings are the biggest liar that lives with me.
Preach.
The biggest liar I've met in this earth are my feelings. You think it's some person. No, it's your feelings are your biggest liar. Your feelings will get over there and feel out and something. You're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, and your feelings will have you making you think you're the lowest snake in the world. You know that if anybody's crawling on their belly, it's me. You know? You just don't know what I did. I thought you confessed that. What you did. Hallelujah. Let's pick it up and go on. Hallelujah. You got to learn to do that. You know? You got to learn to shoot the past and bury it and keep it down. You know, you need to go out and just remind yourself where you buried that thing at. See, that's out there. Right here. That's just, you know. See, the guy that, you know, just, and we need to live and walk in this thing. It goes on and it says here, he's the Godhead bodily. Verse 10 says, and you are complete in him who is the head of all principality and power. That prince, it really means rulers and authorities. It says this, you are complete in him. You're not going to be made complete one day.
Amen.
Read the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
It said you are. The church keeps trying to get complete. It's like, Lord, I've said this how many times. The Lord said to me, why are my people keep trying to get what I gave them? Why do they keep dying to? Why do they do this? It says you are complete in this one who has all rule and authority. He's the Godhead.
Amen.
And you are complete where? In him. Oh, I thought the cross. I thought the cross. If I got near the cross, that's going to complete thing. That'll complete. Yeah, that'll do it. Let's hang around the tomb a while. See if we can see anything come out of there. We're not going there, folks.
Amen.
Hallelujah. All right. You're complete in him. Hallelujah. He's the head over all rule and authority. Think about it. You're in the one who is the head of the all rule and authority. He didn't say you're with him. Didn't say you're around him. Said you're in him. Where could you be limited in rule and authority here on this earth? Other than what limits you put on. Think about that. I want to think about your own life and living. See, I got revelations of these things as a young Christian. Well, I had a good teacher. But I learned these things, and I learned concerning rule and authority. You know, that's a big thing with healing. See, I rule over my body.
Amen.
I have to. See, we're trying to get God to do something with our body. We have rule and authority. Do you ever think about that? All authority and rule over everything is in the Godhead, is in Christ Jesus. See, we take communion. He gave his body for my body, and we treat like we're still putting up that we got to take care of this thing. No, you need to understand authority and rule. See, James wrote about that. He said, if you can control your tongue, you can control your whole body.
Amen. That's right.
See, I can make my body do what it wants, what I want it to do. Understand these things. Rule and authority.
Yes.
In him. I control my mouth by what I think.
Amen. Preach.
If you don't change what you think, your mouth's going to be used as a rule, probably like it used to do in school many years ago. They'd take the ruler and slap your knuckles. Remember that? Well, some of you people don't remember that. That's when we behaved in school. There's a whole lot of difference today. A little heathens running around don't listen to nothing. Because rule and authority will bring fear. You know, the Bible tells us we fear God. You know why I fear God? Because all the ruling and authority. This is one thing I know. I can destroy myself by my mouth.
Amen.
Life and death are in the power of the tongue. The Bible says so. I learned this. One of my worst enemy in life was not the devil. It was my mouth.
Amen.
It was my mouth. I learned that. Boy, I learned that. You know? The devil would give me words and I'd talk them. I didn't have to. You know, a sinner don't have to talk what the devil says. They just yield to him.
Come on.
And Christians don't know. See, we have all of our traditions and think, well, God will take care of this. And he has a reason for this. Yeah, he has a reason that you're being destroyed. It's called a spiritual law that says if you keep talking dumb, dumb comes. That's what it is. I mean, how do that seed grows up and slaps you? Hallelujah. I'm not knocking anybody. I got slapped a few times.
Come on. Come on.
Hallelujah. It says in him, or we're, I see you're in the church. You're in him. This is what you are in. This is speaking to you. It's not about some place you're going to get to sometime. This is where you are. You are in him today. Right now. So in him, I'm in him. It says, we're also circumcised with a circumcision not made with hands by putting off the body of sin of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. Quit amplifying your body. You know why Christians can't put away the flesh? Because they amplify the flesh all the time. The flesh, you know, the flesh. I'm sorry. Hallelujah. I have authority over my flesh.
Thank
he
you.
Just told all rule and authority in him to put away the flesh. You see, you can never do this till you believe it's true and start talking like it's true. People say, well, I just can't. I have this habit. I just can't quit. The Bible says you can't. Rule and authority. You can't be talking the wrong thing and over here take rule and authority. You see how this runs together?
Amen.
See, we got to get people talking right to change. Doing right ain't going to happen till you talk right.
That
everybody's trying to do it the opposite way. That's why James taught bringing the flesh under. He got talking about what you say.
Amen.
No, the church puts doing right, then we'll learn to talk right. Never happens.
Amen.
You'll keep talking your flesh. You'll keep talking the flesh is ruling and reigning. You don't understand the problem I have. No, I do. I understand. God taught me how to get out of problems.
Amen.
If he can correct what I say and the direction I speak, I can get my body to follow
Amen.
The direction of my faith from my mouth. It'll follow it. It'll change me. I can get that direction set.
Preach.
Say, yeah, but I know I'm not this problem, but I'm not. I'm saying I have victory. Well, I just want to keep saying I'm a failure, and one day it's going to change.
Preach.
You know, I'm going to go to Alcoholics Anonymous and keep telling them I'm an alcoholic. I'm an alcoholic, and I'm going to be this way for the rest of my life. Well, you're going to be an alcoholic for the rest of your life.
Preach.
I got born again and got delivered from alcohol and didn't attend one meeting.
Amen.
Well, how'd that happen? Got changed.
Amen.
But I didn't walk around. I didn't join a group that says I'm an alcoholic and keep saying that.
Amen.
You know, it's sort of like the person that paints themselves into the corner. You're going to sit there a long time until it dries. You keep saying the wrong thing, it never dries. You stay in that corner. You stay in that corner forever. You want deliverance? Deliver your mouth. Get into the Word. Find out what God says. And let's just think, God says this about you. He said, the putting off of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. He talks to you by putting off by putting off the body. He did this. He put my body off. Oh, no, I still got it on. You know, I'm ready to get rule and reign. Yeah! You know? Talk about your body like it's a servant. Quit patting and petting the
Amen.
Ugly thing.
Amen. Preach.
We pat and pet our ugly little body. Oh, trying to keep it happy. And ain't nobody happy.
Amen.
Everybody's miserable and crazy. Can't get along with each other, fighting and fussing all the time, you know, doing all this kind of stuff. Oh, yeah, this is really working. Hallelujah. Instead of talking, you know, deliverance, we live bondage.
Mm-hmm.
Talk bondage. Hallelujah. It says, now listen, you were buried with him in baptism. This is not talking about water baptism. You were buried. You know the best thing happened to you? God killed you. When you accept in Christ, he shot you dead. Glory to God. I'm telling you what, best thing that ever happened to me is I died.
Amen.
You wouldn't have liked me the other way. You wouldn't like me that other guy alive. I'll guarantee you. You guys wouldn't be my friends. Mm-mm. I'd be one of those guys you'd say, go hang around with somebody else. He is annoying, man. I'll tell you what, I knew how to annoy people. I'll tell you what, I could get you mad as a hornet quick. And then I'd want to fight you. I was just Mr. Chuckles, I'll tell you. I just... Glory to God. Hallelujah. There was a baptism. It was a baptism into death. See, that's cross. That, when you accepted Christ, you entered in to that death that he took. The punishment he paid, God said, okay, that guy, you know, I accepted him. We won't kill him. We're not going to try and get, we didn't forgive. See, my forgiveness was not God forgave this old ugly guy. He killed him and put a new guy in him that had nothing wrong.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
The new man has no sentence. I have no sentence from God from my past life. We just hold it against people what they did, never forgive them. God, that man's dead. See, don't ever talk about your past life like it's really you.
Amen.
I can tell you about my past. That's a dead man.
Amen.
And you know what? He don't affect this life on this side.
Amen.
Most Christians, their past life affects them. A dead man has more power over them than the life that's in them.
Amen.
Don't matter about your past. You were ugly just like everybody else. It don't matter. But it don't matter. Hallelujah. I don't care what you were. It's what you are.
Amen.
Hallelujah. You belong to Christ. You're part of. You're in Him. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Walk like you're in Him. Get that. Put that mind on. Hallelujah. Put this mind that's in Christ. Jesus. Slip it on you. Hallelujah. This mind of the new creation, of the new creature. Hallelujah. This is what you are. I'm new. I'm not a washed up old. You know, you've heard me say many times, you know, they taught us wrong in church and they still do this day. You know, they put a heart up in the dirty heart and Jesus just cleaned it. The blood of Jesus washed me up. It didn't wash me up. It killed me. Hallelujah. And gave me a new life. Glory to God. Hallelujah. That blood did something that nothing else could ever do or ever be able to do. It is so glorious and spectacular what Jesus did happen through that resurrection. When he walked into that throne room of heaven and he put that blood on the mercy seat, there is a miracle that took place that human beings who would respond to Jesus Christ, their old spirit nature dies. It goes away and God turns them into new people. You see, when I was born again, I looked in the mirror and I was the same guy on the outside, but just one thing is I knew I wasn't the same guy on the inside.
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah. I was made new. Woo!
Amen.
Hallelujah. I was somebody. I was, you know, actually, my actual birthday will be noted in heaven is January 1980. You know, my body was born in 1950, but I'm going to tell you what, my spirit that I'm walking around in today started in 1950 and had never existed before that time. See, the church is still in the tomb, dead is crazy, you know, just, you know, they ain't got out yet. You know, we had to drag them off the cross, drag them down to the tomb. See, you need to understand that. In God's eyes, that's when I became created. That's the being I am. You can't go to heaven and find a birth certificate 1950 for it. If there is one, Jesus Christ is the biggest liar that ever came on the face of the earth. And God the Father is in on it, so he's a liar too. Well, I'm sorry, they don't.
Amen.
This is all in our minds and in our thinking. We don't let the glory fill our minds.
Amen.
Of what we really are. Hallelujah. The glory that's in us. Woo! We're trying to get glory and we're full of it. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory to God, your life. You know, in heaven, I guess they have death certificates on all these ones that died. And those death certificates are laid on that mercy seat of the ones who died under that blood, because of that blood. See, my God, we killed the old Ed Gibson and we made a new one. Here, let me show you the birth certificate. Here it is. Hallelujah. He's new. We want to hear his past. He don't have one. See, the Bible says this, you're renewed every day. We're renewed every day.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, the past don't ever come up again. Only when we drag it up.
That's right.
We drag it up like it was a wonderful life. Oh my God. Hallelujah. But we're buried with Him in baptism, in which you also were raised with Him through faith in the working of God who raised Him from the dead. See, what we were buried, but what we were raised with Him. Hallelujah. His resurrection is my resurrection. This is why the Bible said, the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is in you. The reason it's in you, because you have the same life He got. You were when you got born again, you had to be raised with it. It's the same one. It says it makes alive your body. Right now, really, the Holy Spirit is in you right now for this purpose, to make your body alive. To keep your body, keep it going, help you in those things. You need to understand that. See, this is divine. I understood that divine healing. See, divine healing works for the saints till we get our new body. Now, our body is eventually, we live here, we're eventually going to die. But while I live here, you know, people say, well, you know, got to get sick and die. The Bible doesn't teach that.
That's right.
That's man's.
That's right.
You know, Paul said he wanted to depart and be with Christ. Paul didn't say, I want to get sick and die. I want to really feel lousy down here. No, you could just go home. You can just come to the point and you just, you know, go to sleep in Jesus and go home. This is where by faith. You need to learn to, you know, live by faith, but die by faith. Mm-hmm. Church knows nothing about dying by faith.
Amen.
Don't know a thing about it. My walk down here, there's a day I'm going to leave. And when I'm going to leave, it's going to be a bunch of faith about that one. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Man, I'm going to tell you what. Say, Jesus, you're going to send a whole, you know, chorus of angels down here to haul me off. We're going to party on the way up. We're going to have a good... We're going to be with Jesus. Woo!
Amen.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. See, you go in the kingdom. You don't have to wait, Peter. He ain't going to be standing at the gate to see if you can get in. Because he'll have tracks over him. I ran him down going in. I'm sorry. Peter, get out of there. I'm coming home. Dear Lord. Hallelujah. But see, we ought to love this life. We ought to, it should be so exciting to us.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. See, we got to break down these barriers in thinking that this is such a rejoiceful thing. When a saint dies, a saint never loses. I don't care how person, if they missed it in his life, a saint never loses. When they die, they go to be with Jesus. There is no loss. The only loss is in our thinking. That's in our thinking. Hallelujah. What is the worth of this life if I don't go to be with Jesus? It's worth nothing. It's worth nothing. Man, I'm going to tell you, go to be with Jesus. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory to God. What a wonderful, wonderful thing. Verse 13 there says, and you being dead in your trespasses and sin, and the uncircumcision of your flesh, He's made alive together with Him, having forgiven all your sins.
Amen.
It's all gone. See, again, we're buried in baptism. He says, and you being dead in your trespasses and sin, uncircumcised, He made alive. You've been made alive. You were dead. Now you're alive.
Praise God.
See, get that in your thinking. See, that's why when we go back and we look at the past, we end up living in that past, in that sin. We let it dominate. Don't allow that to dominate and rule over you. What is it? Listen to this. Having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us, and He has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. You know what the handwriting was? The handwriting was the law. And the law had this. Number one, nobody could keep the law. The law was never given to man being able to be able to keep it. God knew they couldn't. God wanted them to understand there's a curse of the law. See, the judgment of the law was cursed. Even from Israel's standpoint, the natural. Every ugly thing that you can figure that happens to people, any ugly thing that you can ever think about, any sickness, any disease, was under the curse of the law. For not being able to keep the law. And what do we find? What's the scripture say? Galatians? Christ has redeemed us. We're redeemed from the curse. Why? The curse was nailed on the cross. Why do I want to go back to the cross? Why do I want to go back to the curse? No, that was nailed to the cross. Well, I'm not going to pull it off to read it. I'm not going back there to that place of my sin and shame. That was nailed to the cross. It's dead. The law's dead to me. I only have one law, walk in love. You'll keep the whole wall if you walk in love. You know, you ain't gonna lie, cheat, and steal, do any kind of thing. You're not gonna do none of that stuff. If you follow love, you would never lie, cheat, and steal, and do stuff. You don't do those things. Why? You walk in love. See, the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
See, Christians say, well, I'm trying to get down in love. I'm sorry, you got love in you. That's what you got in you. See, but you got to recognize that. You'll never develop in it and believe you have it. Quit trying to get it. You know, I've heard Christians say, we need a baptism of love. No, you need to read the Bible. That's what your problem is. I don't need a baptism of love. When I got born again, when the Holy Ghost could not be in you and you not have the love of God shed abroad in your heart. That's an impossibility.
Amen.
That means the Holy Ghost ain't in you. Mm-hmm. But see, wrong teaching, wrong practices, wrong things get us to believe wrong things. So we're in a search for what we already have. So you get the fact is I have these things. You've been blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. Scripture says so. So I'm not searching for blessings. I just want to find out what I got. Start saying the right things. Start speaking the right stuff about this. Hallelujah. Having disarmed principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. So what does he say? So let no one judge you in food or drink or regarding a festival or a new moon or a Sabbath, which are shadows of things to come, but the substances of Christ. You see, the church, we try to do this thing. You know, even the church world, you know, they get over the things of, you know, Israel's, you know, feast days and all that kind. That isn't for me. I'm the church. See, they're under the law. Christ is the fulfillment of these things.
Yes.
You know? I'm just going to say this. You know, they use this thing concerning end times, and they say Israel, you know, is the timepiece. And that. No, Israel's not to the church. Israel's their own timepiece to them. The Holy Spirit in you is your timepiece. Tells you where you are and what you're going to be doing in this time. We're led by the Spirit of God. We're not led by something. We're not. We can look at things and see toward the end time, but Israel's going to go through things the church ain't supposed to be going through. And the church will go through a lot of stuff if they keep following what isn't theirs. I know this Israel as a timepiece hasn't worked because when I came in the kingdom, that's all they were preaching. And all that, and all Jesus was gonna, what Jesus came 20, you know, 30 years ago, we didn't know it. But he did, he came. He must have because they told us he was. See why? They're watching a timepiece. And you know what? They don't even get it with Israel as a timepiece. We see things. We know our place in time by the Spirit of God. Israel doesn't know their place. Israel's still walking under law. They're still walking under law. Israel's still dealing with judgment because they didn't accept the Messiah. They're still under judgment. And that judgment ain't going to be cleared up till the day Jesus Christ returns and sets up his kingdom. Read the scriptures. Ain't going to be pretty at Israel. We need to understand these things. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You're the most, God, the church is the most spectacular thing that there ever was or ever made. Hallelujah. God put in you the Holy Ghost. He reveals us now. He's the one that shows us the future. Israel don't show me the future. The Holy Ghost does. He shows me my future when I walk in. He does. See, we need to get a hold of the, let him teach us. Well, there's things that we can learn concerning Israel, but I want to tell you what, we know too little about the church and the return of Jesus Christ. We so much has been said and done that we shouldn't have said or done. Glory to God. Well, now listen, it says, let no one cheat you of your reward, taking delight in false humility, worship of angels, intruding into those things which he has not seen, vainly puffed up by fleshly mind, not holding fast to the head from whom the body, nourished and knit together by joints and ligaments, grows with the increase that is from God. Therefore, if you died with Christ from the basic principles of the world, why, as though living in the world, do you subject yourselves to regulations? Oh! See, the church subjects itself to so many regulations. Now, he's saying this. See, these are Jews. The Jews came along, and when the Gentiles got saved, the Jews came along because they followed all the practices of the law. Now you've got to follow them. See, we've got to do this. We're still practicing the law, you know. You can't eat, can't do this, can't people do that today. I mean, I've been over the years around Christians and all that stuff, and they like to get back over. I don't know, there's Christians that'll think, you know, well, you know, I don't eat this or that because under the law they didn't eat that and this, like it was going to do something for them. And they get over into this stuff and they don't realize we lose our freedom following people, you know? You know, if you want to eat something or don't eat something, that's fine. But keep your blab mouth shut telling other people what they ought to be doing. Now, I'm going to be kind about it. I am sick of people going around saying this. I have buried saints could not get healed who God has healed who can't get healed because they're following their legalistic path, you know. God gave me a special diet. And they died on the special diet God gave. Wouldn't you think if God gave it, they'd have lived? I mean, what? That's like telling me I'm going to follow the Bible and it ain't going to work. You know, you live out of the inside, you'll learn about what you need to do. If you need to have something or not have something, you know, you need to know concerning yourself. You've got to listen on the inside. You know, the Holy Ghost is in you as the great doctor. Listen to Him.
Amen.
Pay attention to Him. Pay attention to Him on the inside. Take time to hear from Him what He wants you to do. Listen to those things. You know, we need, because see, we get, it's, you know, this is what everybody wants a book that I'll sit down and read and it tells me to do it. I don't have to listen to the Holy Spirit. It tells me everything. So guys write books and women write books and they put everything down in the book. Why? So you don't ever have to listen to the Holy Ghost. You just do what I tell you. That's not God. It's not the way He works. It's not the way it works. What do you need the Holy Spirit in you for if somebody can tell you how to do everything? You can get two people doing exactly the same thing and one of them's in sin doing it and the other one's not. Just on the basis of motive. Oh, yeah. Well, we all judge it all by sight. We judge it by the outer man. No. No. It's judged by the inner man. Our motives. Why do we do things? See, this is why you need the Holy Ghost. You need to. We need that. Hallelujah. God gave you the most incredible thing. God lives in you. Hallelujah. You know, you're going to work through things and learn through things. You know, I got off into things when I was a young Christian because had people taught things and said things. And then I found out later on, you know, I had myself in bondage. I wasn't living in the freedom that God gave me because I'm following. Because they had their little things that they went and did. And stuff. You know, like I tell the story. I was hooked on coffee when I got, you know, I was a drunk on alcohol. I'll be honest with you. I got off alcohol faster than and better than I got off because I got alcohol right away. But I got on coffee and I knew God was dealing with me. Why? It wasn't that coffee's bad. It's what I was doing with it was bad. I was hooked on coffee. I drank coffee all the time. I mean, I just drinking coffee. And God, and then Lord dealt with me. I knew God was dealing with me on it, but you know, I learned how to ignore that. You know, see, you have the Holy Ghost inside. Oh, I know all you spiritual people, you're just so sweet all the time. I learned how to do it. I just ignored it. And I went, I remember it was in the wintertime, it was in February, and it was cold, it had snowed, and I was down behind, we were meeting over at the Birch Road, at the building there, and I was digging, shoveling out snow. And I'm shoveling away on snow. And the voice of the Lord spoke to me. I'm not talking about something on the inside. It was like He was there. And He said, "You're disobedient." See, I don't know the Jesus most people do.
Amen.
He talks to me and He talks straight. Amen. He isn't always patting and burping it. See that cute little baby? We burp them because they can't help themselves. You know, I went through that stage as a Christian. He used to pat me. Now He whacks me. Wake up. He just, wake up here. He don't beat me. He just, wake up. He has to yell at me every once in a while. I don't know, maybe you guys are all cute and just listen so good. Every once in a while he used to say, "Ed, wake up." So anyhow, when he said that, "You're disobedient," I knew exactly what he's talking about.
Amen.
And I'll tell you what happened. I just fell down on my knees there in the snow and I said, "This, Lord." Now, God never told me I could never drink coffee again. Now, most people, they'd write a book and say, "You aren't supposed to be drinking coffee because God told me to quit." No, I made that decision. I just dropped down there and I said, Lord, you're right. I said, I've let this dominate and rule me, and you've been trying to get me to stop. And I said, I'll never drink coffee again. And I haven't drank coffee since. I have not. And that's a lot of years ago. And I haven't drank coffee since. But that was me. I said I would. He didn't tell me I couldn't. But I'll tell you, I did. I just decided. You know, I decided to do what the Bible says. You know, I cut my own throat. I didn't wait till the devil did it.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Preach.
Yes, sir.
Preach. Preach.
It was a good day to cut my own throat. I was just... I didn't wait. I did. But I did. Now, you know what? You drink coffee, that's fine. But I'm going to tell you what. If you're addicted to it and you just can't, you know, I'll tell you the thing, don't do. Don't do this about, well, I just can't. I can't get up in the morning without this. I'm going to tell you what. You're in bondage now.
Preach.
Yeah, that's right.
Because why? I'll guarantee this is what happens eventually. I watch with people. You don't let them have their coffee right away in the morning, and there will be a misery to you. Come their on. Flesh will dominate them, and you'll get sick of them.
Come on. Preach.
So you won't do that. Ain't nothing but that having, but I ain't going to say, I can't make it. I have to have that. I don't want to do that about anything if I can't have it. See, people say, well, I can't have this or I can't have that. You got a problem there. There's a bondage tied to that. Don't say that, because when you have to go without it, I will guarantee your flesh will dominate you and people will get annoyed because you'll be walking in the flesh.
Preach.
Don't do that stuff. Don't do that stuff. No, I'm not going to be. If I can't have a certain thing that I like, well, that's just, praise God, I'll just go on. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I have it later on. We'll be all right. I can wait. Glory to God. I have patience. I'm a Christian.
Hallelujah.
Let patience have its perfect work. You'll never get perfect talking like that.
Amen.
See, be careful about what you say about those things, because you're going to have this happen all the time in things in life, that things that you like. You're going to have this. Maybe sometime you can't have it when you want it.
Mm-hmm.
And if you become discomforted, you're going to be miserable to other people. You're not going to talk right or do right around them because you're unhappy. I didn't get what I want. I'm going to put my thumb in my mouth, lay on the floor, kick my feet, roll around. That's what I'm going to do. Because you got to pet me and pat me, you know. You ever think we do this over? Now, people don't think, well, that's no big thing. Yes, it is. The little things in life are the things that turn into the huge things.
That's right.
Preach.
Faithful in little, ruler over much. You can't rule over your body letting it get away with a cup of coffee.
Come on.
Or not just coffee, anything else. Don't allow it to rule. Don't allow your body to rise. You slap it down and tell it to shut up.
Amen.
Say, you keep that up, I won't get any more coffee for you, you moron. And you know what? It'll shut up quick. Your flesh, my flesh has learned to shut up quick about stuff. Say, well, if I don't listen to him, he gets ugly with me. Do you get ugly with your body? You better learn to.
Amen.
Get ugly with your body. Tell, say, no. You're gonna sit down and shut up.
Amen.
Why? You ain't putting me over in that place. I ain't going to live an unhappy life because my flesh doesn't want to be happy. I don't want to go to that place. So that's a lot of people. They want peace. They want joy in life. You can't have it if you can't bring your flesh under.
Preach.
It'll never happen.
Preach.
Hallelujah. But you have the glory in you, and it'll work. It'll work. And it'll take time. You don't do it overnight. But it'll work. You let it work in you. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You got glory in you.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Well, they said, you know these things. 2 verse 20, do not touch, do not taste, do not handle, which are all things which... What he says, which perish with the using according to the commandments and doctrines. What of men? See, we need to get more revelation in these areas. You know, we don't need no more doctrines of men. We don't, you know. Hallelujah. I don't need men's ideas. I'm enough working with God's ideas.
Amen.
It says, listen to what it says about that. These things indeed have an appearance of wisdom. They have an appearance. And don't say they are wise. They have an appearance of wisdom in self-imposed religion. False humility and neglect of the body, but are of no value against the indulgence of the flesh. You will find this out. Religion always has things in it. You know, I don't like the term, and I don't use it. When they go to even offerings and people say, you know, you need to give a sacrificial offering. Well, I'm going to tell you, my whole life's a sacrifice. Amen. We ain't going there. People are saying, what do they want to do? They're trying to get something out of you the Bible don't say. Do you know what the sacrifices of the Old Testament were? They weren't things that somebody had to go and do something God didn't say. They were required by God. This is what you do. See, giving was a requirement of God. It wasn't a, you got to give a sacrificial offering. They do that kind of stuff. I don't do give sacrificial offerings. I give love. I love to give.
Amen.
It's no sacrifice to love and give.
Amen.
I ain't sacrificing a thing.
Amen.
Love compels me. Hallelujah. And I love the compulsion of it. Hallelujah.
Praise God.
I love that compulsion. But see, we get too much of this stuff said, and it ain't right. I'm not making up sacrifices. I don't have to. See, there's things in life. We lay down because of love, not because I'm sacrificed. Religion is full of sacrifices, you know. And it's always somebody else trying to get you to sacrifice to get what they want.
Mm-hmm.
That's what religion does. We're trying to please God through sacrifice. I'm not pleasing God. God had all those sacrifices under the law, and he threw it under the bus with one sacrifice, Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Jesus did all the sacrifice and it needed. Hallelujah. He gave me love. So this life is a life of faith and love. And I do what I do because I'm compelled by love to do it. Nobody has to try to, if you have to talk a person into giving, you shouldn't be even doing that to begin with, because that is against scripture that Paul wrote. We don't give out of compulsion. You'll never hear me trying to force an offering out of you. God can't get you to give. Get saved.
Come on. Preach.
At least act like you are. We shouldn't have to do that to each other.
Amen.
You know? Somebody doesn't do right, it ain't my job to go run and tell them. You know, that's just, you know, I'm having enough keeping me, you know, keep me under, you know, chasing around after people. Hallelujah. Now, I want you to see something, because he tells us all of this. Now, understand, this is a letter written to the church. This is a letter. There's not one verse Paul had in this thing, and there was not one chapter that Paul ever wrote in this letter. These are things added by men. Now, it wasn't bad from the study standpoint, but you got to come to the point where you're not, it don't stop here. Because now he's going to give you how you get to the top of this thing, of all these things he said, how do I live in this victory? How do I come to this place? You can't, what a chapter, another a new chapter on a different subject. It's what he's going to say. This is the finale, and they cut it off and turned it into another chapter and another thing. No, this is the finale. We go to the next chapter, chapter 3. Look at the verse. This is what it says. Verse 1. If then you were raised with Christ, he talked about that, didn't he? What do? Seek those things which are above, where Christ sits at the right hand of God. What do we do? Oh, stay near the cross or get down there. Try to find out where that tomb was. That'll really bless your life. No. What did he say? See, the victory in this, where's your mind set on? Is your mind set on the throne? Or is it set on the cross? Or is it set on the tomb? No, the throne. See, you're an enthroned Christian. You're enthroned.
Amen.
Look where you are. Say, well, I don't feel like I'm enthroned. Don't matter what your Bible says you are. You're in Christ. Where's Christ? If you're in him, where's he at?
Amen.
See, what he did. What is he saying here to do? If you've been raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Then what do? You seek there, and he says, set your mind on things above, not on the things of the earth. Oh, the cross and the tomb are things on the earth. Christianity don't know how to even act without that. We got to have those images or we can't worship. No, you set your mind on the throne because that's where you're at.
Amen.
You were raised above all principality, power, might, and dominion in every name that's named. That's you. You're not trying to get there. The day that you got born again, you were there. But you know, like most people, they never told them. Well, down here, you're just going to go through life. Oh, yes. No, I'm sorry. You're in a position of all authority and power.
Amen.
Jesus Christ is not the king of people. He's the king of kings.
Amen.
Do you understand that?
Yes, sir.
He's the king over kings. He's not the king over people. If people aren't born again, they're not kings. See, I'm a king.
Amen.
Kings have authority. Kings have power. You know where I... In his kingdom, he's put me down here, and I'm enthroned here as a king down here to rule and reign.
Amen. That's
right. I am down here. I am a king in his kingdom. See, you go back in the past, like you look at King Nebuchadnezzar and his king, the Babylonian kingdom. He had numbers of kings under him that were kings in areas. They ran and ruled for him. That's what we do. We're kings here now. We're going to heaven. You don't need to be a king. Ain't nobody there. Ain't no problem going on. Nothing to deal with. What are you going to rule over Jesus? Now, you will do this in heaven. We'll have authority over angels. But down here in this earth, there needs to be some ruling and reigning. Quit asking God to do it.
Come on.
You is the king.
That's right.
You is the king. You're not going to be. You are.
Amen.
See, get thinking. See, even if it sounds foreign to you, get thinking on line with that. Read what the scripture says. Get thinking in line with that. Set your mind on not on the things of the earth. He says, wow, for you died. And your life's hidden with Christ and God. You died. What on earth? What the significance we make on this side. Now, get that dead guy. Throw the dirt on him, man. You know? Keep him down. If he tries to get up, just go back and shoot him again. You know, don't put up with that. Hallelujah. So it says, then it says, when Christ, who is our life, appears, then also we shall appear to be with him in glory. Now, we need to understand that. It's, you know, there is an appearance of Christ in us when we get our mindset right.
Amen.
Hallelujah. You understand the glory that we have here on this side. Now, you know, I want you to read, I'm going to read a scripture to you from 1 John, the 4th chapter, verse 17. It says this. I want you to listen to this before we go to the communion. It says, love has been perfected among us in this. Why? This purpose. That we may have boldness in the day of judgment. See, the day, there's a day coming. All Christians are going to be judged at the judgment seat of Christ, but we're not going to go judge whether we go to heaven or hell. Judgment seat of Christ, what we did in this body. Love puts on a parade. We don't have to fear that day. We don't have to be afraid of that day. We're not afraid. But listen what he says. Here's a scripture that the church needs a revelation on, this part. Because as he is, so are we in this world. I want to talk to you. This is the resurrected Jesus Christ. This is the new glorified Jesus that is seated in heaven. It says, as he is, so are we. It don't say, as he was.
Amen.
As he is. Glorify Jesus. As he is, so are we. Now, that is not believed generally, I don't know, many places in the church.
That's right.
Oh, we read it and say that. There's a lot of things we would take authority over. We wouldn't wait and be praying to ask God to do. Mm-hmm. If we understand, as he is. Mm-hmm. As he is a king and rules. You are a king and you rule. All authority, all principality, all rule and authority in this earth. We have to be afraid of Satan at all and what he's doing.
Amen. Preach.
In the name of Jesus, he gave you authority. See, you have the rule and authority over him, and he knows that. Do you know one of the things is, you know, the devil never fights the cross. He never talks that Jesus didn't die on the cross. The devil will never say that. Never. He wants you to believe he's dead. And the church has done a good job of killing him. But you know, dealing with demonic powers, time and time again, I've listened to numbers of people in ministry who, you know, dealing with demonic people who are possessed. And even sometimes people you don't think probably, getting people saved. I've heard ministers say people stand in front of them, they're trying to get them to confess that Jesus Christ was raised from the dead, and they couldn't confess that. They would try to, and they couldn't. They were dominated by spirit. The devil will never confess that Jesus was raised from the dead. That's his defeat. He will not say it. He won't say it. See, church wants to keep you near the cross. You can keep talking to death all you want. He died. He died. He died. He died. He died. He died. I'm going to tell you, Jesus is alive. And the devil and the authority of his name, Satan has to bow. He has to bow at the authority of that name. See, this God gave to you. This is not stuff that you can have. This is stuff you got. This is yours. We're taking this communion today. Isn't this interesting? To get born again, do you have to confess that Jesus died on the cross to be born again? Well, I'll tell you what. I've listened to people lead people to Christ, and that's the biggie. No, we believe God raised him from the dead, and he's Lord. He's alive. Amen. Communion was given to the disciples not before Jesus went to the cross, because they'd have definitely started a worship thing on the cross. Probably. The whole thing, communion's about the life we have. It's not about death. It's about life. He gave his body, so I don't have to, my body, putting up with what happened before. He took the curse, so I don't have to take it. He paid through his blood for redemption. I don't have to give my blood. I don't go to jail. I'm free. Communion's about the life we have. Communion's not a meal. Church just try to turn in and make religious things out of it. Jesus, it said, you read the Bible, it says, after they ate. Communion's not about eating. Communion's not about meals. Communion's to remind us of the life of God. Jesus took the curse. I don't care. He was cursed in his body, so I don't have to be cursed in my body. Amen. It's a reminder. We look at what he did and what he went through is not to identify with oh, woe is me and poor old me. No, he did that so I don't have to. He took his blood into the throne because my blood wouldn't have bought me nothing. My blood had already bought me a ticket to hell. That's what it bought me. That's what it got me. Hallelujah. His blood bought me the ticket to heaven. Hallelujah. Set me in the kingdom of God. Made me a king. Made you a king. Just think about it. Made you a king. Made you under the rule of all authority and rule. Hallelujah.
Amen.
That's you. Glory to God. See, that's one thing. And I consistently say, we don't preach the book as good as it is.
Amen.
These are letters to the church. This is what it's saying to the church. You know, God wants us to live a life down here and don't want our flesh to get out of there. But he tells us how to do it. And it ain't through beating ourselves, practicing all kind of crazy stuff and doing all those kind of things. I'll tell you, believing the word and talking the word, hallelujah, will lead you into this, doing the word. That's what it'll do to you. Let's, today, set your mind on things above. See, when I was a kid in church, what they did is the communion service was a place, time you wanted to go and hide. Because you're good enough to take it. Maybe you're messed up. Hey, if you need to confess your sins, good idea. You know, is don't treat the thing cheaply. But the whole thing, it's our place of victory.
Amen.
It's our place that comes to us. Jesus, now just think about it. Jesus gave those guys communion, and Peter's gonna deny him 3 times. Well, surely Peter went to hell, I'm sure, because that, I'll tell you, that was... See how we think about things. So as we take communion today, hallelujah, it's going to be life to us.
Amen.
And we take it. We leave this place today. We're leaving on top of it, not on the bottom of nothing. Hallelujah. This isn't a thing, you know. It's a reminder to us. But I'm just going to say this. Don't remind on communion to keep you in a reminder. Just keep your eyes looking above where Christ sits at the right hand. And you know, you'll have communion with him every day. You won't have to take elements. Hallelujah. You'll be reminded every day of the glory that you have in you. Let's stand to our feet. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Father, we just say thank you. Lord God, as we come today, Lord, to these elements, we're just so thankful. We're reminded of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ and what he did, his payment for us. And Lord God, we know in our right minds there's no way that we can pay him back. But we do honor his work. We honor what he did. And Lord God, I want to thank you. He took judgment so we could have glory.
Amen.
He took judgment so we could have life. And I just want to say thank you, Lord God. Lord, it is with great pleasure that we can come to these elements and so thankful, hallelujah, as our reminder of our great Lord and Savior and all that he accomplished and did for us, hallelujah. That this day, Lord God, and all of our days forward, we can walk in a place of glory, hallelujah. Lord God, experience in wonderful fellowship with a master that is so incredible, it's beyond imagination. And I thank you, Lord Jesus. Jesus, we take these elements. Our great desire is to have you rule and reign over us. Not to, Lord God, you don't have to force us. We want you to dominate our lives. We want your goodness operating through us, a blessing to this world. And we thank you, Father God, that the good work that you started in us, you're going to bring it to completion in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Well, we'll hand out the elements. You can be seated.